Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. On this chilly morning when we're expecting an ice storm here in St. Louis, make sure you don't go out today if you can help it. No reason to risk your life. But you can sit here and listen to a little more Ezekiel. We've been working with him just for a couple of days now. Not really getting through all of the text, but certainly touching on God's concern for building his church. And this good gospel news that Isaiah also sums up well when he says that the word of God will not return void. That God has this purpose, this mission, and it's not our mission, it's his mission to save us. And he's going to do it. He's going to send his word in such a way that even our unfaithfulness will not be able to stop him from being faithful. And that doesn't mean that unbelievers get saved. It means unbelievers can't stop him from saving. Yeah, and so he does, in fact, save through his word, which we get to hear and study now. We're looking at Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 13 through 28. Verse 13 begins, "Thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you devour people and you bereave your nation of children, therefore you shall no longer devour people and no longer bereave your nation of children, declares the Lord God. And I will not let you hear any more the reproach of the nations, and you shall no longer bear the disgrace of the peoples, and no longer cause your nation to stumble, declares the Lord." Now, I'm going to stop right there and just say, now, that's a weird text, right? This is what I've said in other places before online and here on KFUO, that Ezekiel is about as tough a book as you could ever get into in the Bible. Daniel's pretty tough too, but you try to read Ezekiel straight through, you know, it makes Leviticus look kind of friendly. And this is why. It's texts like this, which, you know, I come to a text like this and I'm like, I got no clue what that is. I got to go and use a resource, something called a commentary, which there are commentaries that are out there and available for anyone to read. But as a pastor, part of the training is they teach you how to navigate them. They are a little challenging. They're not, you know, just read cover to cover books for everybody. But you come to a text like this and you're not sure, you go find a commentary, particularly a faithful one if you can, because some are good and some are bad. And then you maybe learn a little. And the first thing I found when I looked at this one was, well, you got to start way back at the beginning of the chapter, Ezekiel 36, verse 1, where you find out that God has told Ezekiel to prophesy at the mountains of Israel. And you kind of pick up on this here a little bit. It seems that way, and it's actually in the title as well if you're looking in the app. But he is literally prophesying against hills, right? The lumps of earth in Israel. And you're like, well, why is he doing that? And here's why. It's because Israel at this time that he's prophesying is under the control of the nation of Babylon. They have demolished the temple. They've torn down everything that was built there. Jerusalem is in shambles and the people have been taken into exile. And they are saying, at least to some extent, in the hearing of the Jews who are in exile, see those great mountains where your city of God used to stand? Those are ours now. We have the mountains. We have the strength. Our gods are the right gods. And so God sends out these words condemning those who are saying that. And the gist of the entire section is that he's going to restore the people to this land. It's going to be theirs again, and they will again plant and sow and live in this holy place. Which happened 70 years later. 70 years after the exile, the Israelites return to Jerusalem. They rebuild the temple and they get established and start waiting again for this heir of David's throne to come back, this Christ, this Messiah, right? This is the setup for the New Testament. So the way that this connects with this bit in verse 13 and whatnot about devouring the people and bereaving the nation of children is that without their land, without their home, without their country, they are like a childless people. They are people without a future. And God is saying here, I'm not going to let you be that way anymore. I'm not going to let you be childless. I'm not going to let you not have a land. I'm going to send you back. Verse 16, then, which we haven't read yet, continues, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land. They defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like the uncleanness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they still profaned my holy name, in that people said of them, 'These are the people of the Lord,' and yet they had to go out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them, and the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Certainly feels a bit better there, doesn't it? Now that you know that the whole setup is the people themselves are feeling the need for the land, and God is going to fulfill that need. And then there's that bit in there. It's really important, actually. He's going to do it not because we're faithful, but because his name is faithfulness. And yet we get to benefit from this, right? Jesus doesn't come down to save us because he loves us for us. He comes down to save us because he loves us, because that's what he does. He is love. He is love so that he even does love those who don't deserve it, so much so that he makes us lovable. And that's the gist of this end section, this beautiful text about being cleansed with water and having our heart of stone removed and getting a beating heart instead, all for the sake of the name of the God who is mercy, who is wonder, who is care, who is good. So we continue, of course, then with this same thrust that Ezekiel's been giving us all along, that God is consistent, steadfast. He's going to do what he wants to do, which happens to be a very good thing for you and me. And we can take this and read it all straight into what happens on the cross in Jesus, how our hearts are made new by the piercing of his heart, that the blood and water flowed out, and that water which flowed out is the water of holy baptism, or at least points to it, that comes to you and marks you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And that promise, that certainty, that steadfastness continues in the absolution he gives to you and the connection he's made with you and his church, that even though the world around us rises up against us, and even though there are many schisms and sects where they tear the church asunder, Jesus is going to build his church. He's going to restore us to the land of paradise. He's going to come again for the sake of his name. And again, that's a good thing for you. Listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.